Coming up on TMSPM, Naked Guy follow-up.
7 years for Shkreli.
Too bad. Yeah. Take down your 10 hours of static.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's some pee.
Dangerfield's bottle of sweat gets no respect.
Very fluid episode of TMS. App time.
Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM for Friday, the 9th of what's the month? March? Yeah.
It's March.
Still smarch. Lousy smarch weather. Mm-hmm. March the 9th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott. Happy Friday to you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I'm going to need it. Today's been a little hectic, a little bonzo.
Yeah. Well, hey, as you can tell, I mean, it's what came out to be here as well. I had a client that did some great Kia artwork, or that I did some Kia artwork for a promotion at their dealership for March Madness.
Yeah.
And then they realized that, oh, we can't use March Madness. That is a copyrighted term from the NCAA.
Yeah, that's right. You can't use it and stuff. It's true.
It's like the big game instead of the Super Bowl. You can't say Super Bowl. You got to say the big game.
That's dumb. It's dumb that people can't use that in their marketing, I think. I mean, sometimes they do, but they have to buy rights for it or they face, right, you know, litigation.
You've got to be the official blah, blah, blah Super Bowl.
Yeah. So that's fun. So what are you going to call it then? You're going to call it the
Mayhem March.
Mayhem March. Oh, that's a committee. That's a committee decision for sure, isn't it?
It really is. Yes.
That's great. I love that. Pretty excited for Mayhem March coming up.
Mayhem March.
Do you still have to pay? Do you have to pay that one boxer announcer guy every time you want to say you want to? Are you ready to rumble? Is that the?
Let's get ready to rumble. I don't know. Probably.
For a while there, I think there was some talk that he had full rights and only rights to do that, and then if anyone else did, they had to pay him. I don't think. I mean, this is just me. Okay.
Sure.
And I know that there's a lot of complicated issues and all kinds of weird scenarios that I'm not thinking of right now. But on the face of it, it seems weird that one guy should be able to say words that I can't say without either paying him or getting sued. Right. That's weird to me.
No, I'm with you.
These are words our mouths are articulating as human animals. It's not like I didn't make a car and you came up and stole it. That's not the same.
Exactly.
I just said, let's get ready to rumble. And then if you say it, I don't think I should be able to own the words let's get ready and rumble exclusively.
Yeah, I mean, the way that, just kind of put a pin in the way you're describing it. If you had a different boxing match or basketball game or some sort of sports thing and you began it with let's get ready to rumble, I think that that's grounds for like, oh, hey, that's confusion. We don't know if we're seeing the official thing with that guy or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if I were hosting a basketball tournament and we called it March Madness, sure, that would be a problem for sure.
Right.
But a car dealership selling cars, like, wait a minute. I thought March Madness was with basketball teams and colleges.
Yeah, if anything, you're giving free advertising to the NCAA.
Is this Kia Forte going to be going up against the Kentucky Wildcats at some point?
Can't wait till
my money's on the Wildcats.
I can't wait for the Santa Fe to take on Duke.
Exactly. Yes,
yeah, it's right. Stupid. It's stupid. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. We live in a complicated world full of complicated issues, and we're not here to change the world, but I am here to give you an update on Naked Guy in the Window.
Naked Guy update.
Oh, boy. So I won't spend too much time on this, but I did yesterday walk the dog, my dog.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
It's not a euphemism. It's like just walking the dog, you know, taking the dog out so it can pee and poo and all that. Still not a euphemism. Anyway. I took Rainer out for a walk, Jim Rainer, the female dog, and she's doing good. I'm doing good. 60 degrees yesterday for some reason. It's stupid, stupid warm for this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And we think there's probably a storm coming. This usually gets warm before a storm comes, so it's fine, whatever. And I'm walking around, and I see a German Shepherd. I'm like, oh, I think I recognize that German Shepherd. I shouldn't even say the breed. But as I come around the corner, there he is, 60-something-year-old naked guy in the window walking his dog. Now, he is fully clothed outside. Yes. He's not naked now. That'd be real weird.
That would be extremely weird.
And I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll just scooch on by and there'll be no interaction because I'm not quite ready yet.
Really?
Okay. I don't feel... This is hard to explain, but at the time, it's as it seized me. I think in retrospect, who cares? But at the time, it seized me like, oh, it's the guy who was naked. Let me just keep moving. I don't want to be embarrassed, or I don't want him to think something's weird. It's less about him and more about me, right?
Right.
Sure enough, he's like, hey!
You're going to do like a John Candy thing, like where you're talking to him and saying, oh, you're taking your dog for a walk?
Yeah, exactly. And so I walk over there. And he goes, well, I sure as heck fire remember you. Now I'm thinking of another movie. Then he goes, hey, what's going? How's it going? I go, oh, hey, I'm good. What's up? He goes, oh, you know, just out taking the dog for a spin. And it's this weather. And it starts sending down the weather talk and all that. And
good. Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah, it's really weird, right? And he's, yeah. And my head's going, I've seen your wiener. I've seen your wiener. I've seen your wiener. And he was just as happy and friendly as could be. It was about a 5-minute conversation. Oh, I keep giving hints as to who this is. I got to stop doing that.
Right, exactly.
So
he told you about his vocation.
So to suffice it to say, at the end of the conversation, I walked away, and it was fine. It was cordial and wonderful, and everything was great. And he's a nice feller, and that's it. That's all I got to say about it. But I just felt like, you know, it's just a man wiener follow up, and there he was. And I couldn't help but picture him that way. I just see him. I go, oh, yeah, that is a covered version of the thing I saw.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, so did the friendly chit-chat then kind of expedite your ability to get past it so that, or do you feel like if you see him again out there, you still might be inclined to kind of sidle around so you don't necessarily have to come into contact with him?
No, I think in future it'll be actually easier because now... Well, okay, so one of the fears that have now been put to the side is that he may have seen me seeing him. That was a worry I had because I couldn't tell. I didn't know. It seems like he would have reacted weird if he had seen me and, like, ducked behind something real fast and went, oh, yeah. Shoot, I shouldn't be up here. But yeah. Because he didn't, that left me with only two options. One, he didn't see me at all, which just turns out to be the case. Or two, well, as far as I know, it turned out to be the case because he's way too relaxed to... any other way.
Yeah,
or he saw me and he's into it. Now, I don't think it's that one. But I'm just saying that was a distinct possibility in my head, and I feel like that's all been quashed. So it's all good now. I'm happy to see him, happy to pet his dog. Someone in the chat the other said, don't pet the dog's head. They probably had those long-hanging bag of potatoes, if you know what I'm saying, hanging down there.
Have grazed the top of the dog's head?
Someone in chat said that the other day. I don't know who to give it credit to, but it was kind of stuck with me.
It's a long shot.
Yeah,
but
it's also something.
Anything's possible.
It's something someone in the chat would say for sure. But yeah, of course. He has a beautiful, beautiful dog. He's a wonderful man, and I feel better having spoken to him. all right. Well, there's the end of that. We hope you're all having a fantastic Friday. And in order to celebrate properly, I believe it's time for this.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
One other quick thing. I don't know if you've ever had this or if you have had it. I don't know. Just looking for your advice here.
Sure.
Middle of the night, I kind of wake up and I'm like, oh, what? Is that my throat that hurts? Is it my neck that hurts? Something hurts over here. And I thought, and for a while, I thought maybe it was a tooth because it was like kind of deep in the bone a little bit.
Oh, geez.
But then the air would hurt and kind of get pluggy, but then that would go away, and then it would just kind of be throaty. And then if I look straight ahead and I swallow, it kind of hurts. But if I look this way and swallow, it doesn't hurt at all.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't like it. I don't like what this portends. So I think it's the coming on of a sore throat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a little adenoids in there going, getting all weird. I don't know.
Because the way you're rubbing... your whole jawline makes me think that it's more than just a, oh, you get a little kink in my, you know, my jaw right here, or I slept weird on my neck or something like that. No, it sounds like.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like muscle, although when I do this, it kind of aggravates it, but not in a way that's like.
The fact that when you swallow with your head in a certain direction.
Oh, I hate it. I don't want to get sick, dude. I don't want this. I don't need this in my life. The kids, they're all done with theirs. Kim's done with hers. I need this like I need a bullet in the cheese. I don't need it.
You've already even gotten through it yourself, like a couple weeks ago.
I had a little mini version, which wasn't nearly as bad as theirs. But Kim's like, wait, where does it hurt? I'm like, right here. She goes, oh, that's how mine started. And I'm like, oh, shit. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. And it kind of hurts to talk loud. Like, it kind of hurts if I go, it kind of hurts over there.
I'd say, well, at least you've got a weekend coming up. But we're recording tomorrow. You're recording again later tomorrow afternoon for Dungeons. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, so it's not.
I don't have a day off. I need to start doing that, don't I? Like, this is dumb. I should start having a day off. Why do I fill my straw with so many marbles?
Because they're fun marbles.
That's right. Well, I would rather be doing that and have a sore throat than spending the next 7 years of my life in a federal penitentiary. That is the fate of our good buddy, Pharma Bro Martin Shkreli. He cried in court and was sentenced to seven years for securities fraud. Now, his lawyers were asking for they were trying to get a sentence of about a year. It was a pretty open and shut case that he had fraudulently committed securities fraud. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have anything, by the way, to do, not specifically anyway, although I would argue it's connected, but him cranking up the price of that individual drug, I don't think is part of this particular case.
They're saying it's not,
right?
But it certainly could have had an effect on people's perceptions of them and stuff.
Sure. I mean, if I was a jury person in there, a jurist, I couldn't forget that stuff. It would be impossible.
No, I mean, he's not injured. He's not, getting beat up or anything yet anyway. But feel like I can take satisfaction in hearing this and say, yeah, good.
No,
and
feels like, feels
bit,
like
that makes me feel, yeah. feel even better.
And it feels like justice perhaps is being done. And that makes me happy in a time where it feels like a little less justice is being done.
Tell me, though, that this line here that he says couldn't just be read as some sort of Skeletor supervillain thing. I want the people who came here today to support me to understand one thing. The only person to blame for me being here today is me. I took down Martin Shkreli.
Take that, He-Man!
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. In other words, I'm responsible for my own demise, which is great that he's taking ownership of it, but he also wants to make sure that, in kind of a narcissistic way, he's not going to give any credit to the judge or the attorney that the attorney that's charging him.
His own attorney said he wants to hit him. That was the thing.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said this in court. He says there have been times I've wanted to punch my own client. Like nobody, nobody likes this guy. He is a douche by the highest order, and he's going to prison as a result. He was a self-promoting pharmaceutical executive who is notorious for trolling critics online and convicted in securities fraud case last year, unconnected to this recent dispute. So there was other stuff too. He says, you already did the one quote. He says, I'm terribly sorry I lost your trust, he said. You deserve far better, He-Man, he says. The judge insisted that the punishment was not about Shkreli's online antics or raising the cost of the drug. Quote, this case is not about his self-cultivated public persona, nor his controversial statements about politics or culture. He says this is all about his crimes, and they called them serious. He was also fined $75,000 and received credit for the roughly 6 months he had been in prison. So they'll take that out of his...
So they'll have to do 6.5 years.
6.5 years. Still
I mean, whenever, you know.
Yeah. That's enough time. Whatever. Hey, look, the final 6 months could get real Andy Dufresne on him if he's not careful,
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think the first 6 months, when he's establishing himself in prison. So what are you in for? Wait a minute, you're Martin Shkreli. Pop.
Yeah. The only difference in the line when Red meets him, here's the difference in the line. I wish that was the first time. And only time I met Martin Shkreli. That's what he'll say. I wish I only met him once.
I'd like to tell you that I got along with Martin Shkreli.
I'd like to tell you that, but I didn't.
I buried Martin Shkreli in a mile of shit and then walked away smiling on the other side.
I like that
he had to give up his Wu-Tang Clan album, too. Like, talk about icing on the cake. It's like... 7 years in court, X amount of money you're going to have to pay. Oh, and we're taking away that Wu-Tang, that one copy of the Wu-Tang Clan album that you bought.
Yeah, he had to turn it over as part of his, I don't know, restitution or whatever.
I love it. I love it.
I kind of like it too. Justice is done. Well done. Good job. I watched that Dirty Money documentary. There was a whole episode on him and the pharmaceutical industry, and he was such a smirky bastard in that segment.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So that's why people want to punch him in the face. It's that look that he always makes. That.
Yeah. I don't like this. I'm terribly sorry you lost your trust. You deserve far better. I got news for you, buddy. Nobody trusted you since the day you got on the news and explained that.
Right, exactly. Like, people who don't know you, don't know anything about you, look at your face and say, well, there's a guy I certainly wouldn't trust.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck to you. Put some, you know, take some duct tape into prison with you. You're going to need it. Here's the next story. 10 hours of static. You ever see these on YouTube where it's just like, you know,
yeah.
24 hours of nothing but like a heartbeat or weird stuff like
right.
that.
The Enterprise bridge noise and stuff like that.
Oh, I love that one. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. In fact, you'd think that one would get taken down, but no. Instead, 10 hours of static got 5 copyright takedown notices. speaking of when TMS gets screwed on a middle music indie thing, sometimes.
Right, an indie thing. Right,
yeah, exactly. We're totally legal to play it. Brian has all the rights in the world and literally paid for those rights to do it.
Right.
And exactly. Yet still YouTube thinks we're...
What's funny, we talked about this before the claims were officially filed, right? Because this is how we talked about how I learned that there was a difference between brown noise and pink noise and white noise and all that stuff.
Oh, that's right. I introduced you to brown noise.
You did, yes.
Yeah, not a brown note, everybody. Brown noise.
That's the brown note.
No, nobody introduces you to a brown note. Sebastian Tomczak blogs about technology and sound and has a YouTube channel. In 2015, he uploaded a 10-hour video of white noise. White noise is persistent background noise that can be soothing if you don't sleep very well, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I find brown noise much more soothing, by the way. White noise sounds like the TV's broken, but whatever.
Yeah, right.
In 2018, as a result of YouTube's content ID system, a series of copyright claims were made against his video. 5 different claims were filed on the sound that he created himself, by the way. He made it himself. Well, I feel like we had another one of these stories, too, where somebody made their own thing and it still got pulled down.
I think so, yeah. I think it was actually the same discussion.
It may have been. And aren't there people, like, people will make their own music and get takedown notices?
Because it sounds too much like something else?
Well, no, because they think because it's on some other, you know, it might be on iTunes or it might be on Amazon or it might be on other music services. They're like, oh, well, you don't have the rights to publish that here, even though you're the one that made the shit. The claimants didn't force his video to be taken down. They all opted to monetize it instead. In other words, ads on the 10-hour video would now generate revenue for those claiming the copyright on the static. F you. You're yanking the system around, you cheese nuggets. Freaking put put a pipe up your hoo-ha and blow.
That's my sound my hissy noise. I made that.
Yeah, I made it.
I invented the hissy noise.
Strix Rich in the chat says, brown noise was copyrighted by Martin Scorsese and the royalties raised 5,000%. Nice job.
That's great.
The Hypnotoad video. That's out there still.
That's another one too, yeah.
Come on, I'm going to find that real fast.
Oh, God, you can play it on here.
Toad. Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, here we go. Hypnotoad video. Is this the long one? Let's see.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, this is it. And this just goes forever. And this isn't that unlike those weird tones you get on those apps and stuff. If you play them, some of them sound like the Hypnotoad.
And it's kind of funny. After a minute or so, 30 seconds of that, it's like, okay, that's strangely soothing now. I'm not hearing the jarringness of it in comparison to no noise. Mm-hmm. I'm just hearing the kind of steadiness of it.
That's why when they do the psychological warfare stuff like they did in Waco, it's just blaring horrible sounds and everything to the house all night to try to make them go nuts. They can't use just a singular tone or a rhythmic thing. Even if it's a horrible sound, if it's rhythmic or constant, your brain gets used to it as just kind of what it expects. Kind of like living in a big city and just hearing that constant hum of activity. But if you have to break it up and have like screams and, you know, breaking things. And also, I guess what I'm really doing is saying everybody should watch that Waco miniseries. It's really good. I enjoyed the hell out
really
of it.
Really so, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm telling you, dude, you'll see that and you'll go, oh, yeah, Taylor Kitsch, actually, he's a talent we should be paying attention to. He's not just, you know,
just
briefly.
Gambit and,
he's not Tim Riggins and Gambit. Albums. Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd like it. Right. You'd like it. You know why you'd like it? Sure. You'd like it if you, okay, let me put it this way. If you like the OJ deal, the dramatization OJ deal,
yep,
it's like that.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah. Cool. A lot of attention paid to how it went inside the house because the one of the main dudes who helped tell the story is the dude that got out. So he could tell what really happened in there. And he didn't get out because he wanted to turn on them. Like, he's not anti them. He just knows a lot of stuff happened in there that the outside did not know about.
Hmm. Cool.
And he's played by Macaulay Culkin's brother. What's his name?
Kieran Culkin, right?
No, the other one. There's a third one.
The other brother.
Kirby?
Count Culkin.
Count Culkin of the Culkins. Hold on. Gosh dang it. Culkin.
Count Culkula.
Actors. It's going to bug me now. Rory. It's Rory.
Rory.
He's the one that was in Signs. Remember that? There's a kid in Signs. Yeah, okay. Had the hat on, wore the tinfoil hat there for a minute in that movie. Anyway.
Right.
He's great in it. It's very good. Oh, he was also the...
check it out.
He's also in that Scott Pilgrim Saves the World deal or whatever. He was the...
You said where that was available to watch. The...
I got it on Amazon buying the episodes. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere.
Okay.
But I bought
Paramount Network, huh? I'll have to see.
It's really good. It's cool. Really, really good.
All right.
And I'm telling you, Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, yeah, Michael Shannon. That's right. I was trying to remember who else was in there.
He's really good. Nice. And you remember in Fargo, final season there that we saw, or not? Hopefully not final, but the last season with Carrie Coon's character always had to answer to that Dick Sargent guy.
Yes, yes.
And I don't mean Dick Sargent from... Bewitched.
The actual sergeant who's a dick.
Who's a dick, exactly. You remember that guy? Kind of just his jerky army type dude. He's also in this. He's really cool and hard, and you hate him, but he's great in it.
He's and Melissa Benoist is in there, Supergirl, John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that guy, and I can't find his name all of a sudden, but he's in the Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's a good cast.
Cool.
I recommend it. Hey,
Cameron Manheim is in the Stephen Culp.
Yeah, Cameron Manheim is plays the mother of the Culkin dude. Belinda. A whole bunch of actors like that. You just look at it and go, "Oh yeah, I've seen all of you everywhere all the time."
Right, right.
And Taylor Kitsch is very good at this David Koresh thing. You'd swear it's him. It's crazy.
The trick is figuring out what, because I pay for DirecTV Now. Still, that's the one we cleared out everything else. No more PlayStation View or anything else. Because with DirecTV Now, I basically get logins for every other app. So I can say, Walking Dead, we go to the Walking Dead app. This, we go to this app. Right. This other thing, we go to this other network app.
Yeah.
And I'll have to see which, if we get Paramount Network app or wherever.
Smart of them to do that, by the way.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and we almost never, ever launch DirecTV Now. It's all just... Well, basically, you're paying them for logins for all these other apps.
Yeah, it's great, though, because it keeps you subscribed to DirecTV, which is their goal. It's
totally does.
Pretty cool. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Just in today, I forgot to mention this. I meant to put it in the news, but it came so late, I forgot to put it in. Norm MacDonald got his own show on Netflix.
Ooh.
I can't wait. And this isn't just a stand-up thing. He's already got those.
Right. This will be like a talk show kind of thing?
Yes! And it's called Norm MacDonald Has a Show. they've locked it in at 10 episodes for sure. That's what they've ordered. It's basically his thing he's got on YouTube right now that he also put out as a podcast where he interviewed famous people, because it's got that Adam Egget sidekick guy still. If you haven't ever heard that, it's pretty damn funny. It's super blue. Like, there's nothing for children here. A while back, he had denied anything. He said, "I'm not talking to Netflix. This is a weird rumor. I don't know where this is coming from." Well, turns out he was just saying that because he had an NDA or something. Yeah, I got a show. It's coming to Netflix.
You guys stream it whenever you want. You don't need to.
Those dicks at Saturday Night Live. Bob Dole. SNL. Oh, yeah. Bob Dole says, "Watch my show."
So it looks like just went into the DirecTV app and it says, "Yep, you've got access to all six episodes of Waco."
Very nice. Well, you have to let me know, for real. Like, put it in your list and, you know.
I'm adding it to watch list now.
I think you'll like it.
Still doesn't say what it was on. I guess it says Paramount Network, which...
Whatever that is.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
I didn't either. Wasn't that UPN or whatever for a while? Or?
Oh, yeah.
But what happened to them? I thought
Paramount
sold.
Paramount was the P in United Paramount Network, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know what this is or where you would have watched it in an original television format. I don't understand how that works. Is there a Paramount Network I don't know about now? There must be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
Well, we're excited about Norm's new show. That's the main thing.
Yes.
That's 10 hours. Guy. Okay. We already talked about him. Hey, here's the thing you do. You get spurned by the opposite sex when you're trying to, you know, see if there's any interest in.
Sure. Right. You ask your girl out and you try again and you say.
Sure.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? And she just keeps
like,
saying,
oh, I'm washing my hair. I've got an appointment with whatever. Like, they always make it up. But some of the great stories of long-earned love and lifetime love come from these, you know, frequent turning down of a guy who just keeps asking.
I don't think we should promote that because really once you get a no, you're supposed to just walk away and move on, right? I mean,
sure.
We don't want to encourage people to say, well, she said no the first four times, but some of the best love stories came after just wearing her down.
I mean, if what you do is you just like once in a while say, hey, happy birthday or something, then great. But if you're right. Just hounding the person.
Exactly.
Don't do
now?
That.
Are you washing your hair this weekend too?
So this is the story all about how my life got turned upside down. A man, this is the man in question in this scenario I've been describing, urinated in a coworker's water after she denied his advances.
Oh, jeez.
This is not the way to do it. 47-year-old Minneapolis man. Minneapolis man.
Minneapolis man.
Is accused of urinating.
I'm cold 7 months out of the year.
All year long. It's barely warm even for a week. Hear all this talk about Stan Lee maybe going to die? He's got like horrible pneumonia and stuff.
Sick.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all going to die.
Yeah, but his video he put out was so sad. He was just like,
oh, I didn't see that.
If I don't see any of you again, just know that I've had a great run. And
oh, God, he didn't say that, did he really?
Yeah, he's talking like all this like sad death talk. And he looked pretty ragged. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. I don't know who's taking care of him, but whatever. Mm. 47-year-old man urinated into a co-worker's bottle of water numerous times after she rejected his romantic advances. Romantic advantages. Coronado Cruz Perez faces one misdemeanor and one gross misdemeanor charge. I know they don't mean gross the way I mean it, but...
No, but certainly applies both meanings of the word gross.
Yep. It says this. It's the charge of adulterate by body fluid in connection to the October 27 incident. Ugh. Adulterate by bodily fluid.
Adulterate by bodily fluid.
It's next.
Available now at the perfume counter.
It's like a top 40 song or something.
Adulterate by bodily fluid.
It's you at the end of the show with your final song you're going to play on the show. Here's Adulterate by bodily fluid.
Exactly. Keep reaching for the stars. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep listening to Adulterate by bodily fluid. Here's a long distance dedication.
This makes my throat hurt to laugh.
Sorry.
That's not your fault. It's just I have to laugh. It's part of my job. According to the complaint, a female worker at the Perkins Family Restaurant. It's in a restaurant. This is even worse.
It's in a Perkins.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome to Perkins Family Restaurant. Don't drink the water. How can I help you?
Oh.
She said it began happening after she told Perez she was only wanted to be friends with him. Since then, she says there are about 15 instances of urine tasting in her water bottle at work.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Perez denied tampering with the water, so he's saying he didn't do it. However, when investigators talked about the possibility of DNA testing, Perez eventually informed the investigators that he did indeed urinate into her water bottle one time 3 weeks before. He said he did it because he had to go to the bathroom and the restaurant was busy, so he forgot to throw the bottle away. I call bullcrap.
Right. I'm sure that's exactly right. Yeah. Shkreli, I think you got a roommate. How about a roommate for Shkreli? We'll supply you with all the water you want.
put him in there, that Perez fella who can't stop peeing and everything.
Jeez.
Final story is my favorite. It's gross, but I'm sharing it anyway.
Okay.
Rodney Dangerfield's widow, her name is Joan Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. She gets some respect, I guess. reveals she keeps a bottle of the late comic's sweat in her fridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and it's more than you expect because they have a picture of this. He passed away back in 04, had a legacy of hit films, legions of fans, loved his stand-up routine and catchphrase, I get no respect. But Rodney Dangerfield's widow, Joan, has a slightly more unusual way of remembering her late husband. The 60-year-old keeps a bottle of Rodney sweat in her fridge. In an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, she reveals that Rodney got the idea to collect this sweat after learning that a handkerchief stained with Elvis Presley's perspiration was sold for a lot of money. Rodney had a eureka moment, she recalls. Quote, he said, I sweat more than anybody. My sweat has to be as good as Elvis's sweat, right? And he would sweat up a lot there on stage. So my job was sweat collector after the act.
The sweat collector.
So she used a sponge and a spoon. I'd collect his sweat about an inch at a time.
What? This went from being really sweet.
To really gross.
Really gross, yeah. Like, oh, that's sweet of her to keep that there. Oh.
So chat room, Here's the photo. What? I want to ruin your life. Hold on a second. Here you go. That's her.
Oh, there's the jar or the bottle?
Yeah, that jar right there that you see. Let me zoom this in some. The little jar you see right there of a... I don't know what that is normally. It's like a whiskey jar or something or some kind of...
It looks like... it looks like an alcohol bottle or a perfume bottle.
Yeah, that cloudy substance at the bottom there is the collected sweat of Rodney Dangerfield.
Gee, I wonder if she's had any work done.
Well, she gets Rodney sweat injections every month, dude.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Oh, my gosh.
Well, there's Rodney there.
Is that a like a metal bobblehead award or something?
I don't know what that is. That looks like a bobblehead for sure.
Yeah. With it's a little like halo on the top.
Yeah, like a comedian thing or something.
Yeah.
There's Rodney.
She looks like she's at a deposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you swear that the jar of sweat before you belongs to Mr. Rodney Dangerfield?
Yes, I scooped it out myself. Meh. It's really gross. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to review some apps. We got a Dan segment that we're going to put in the show. And also, Twitter questions. All that coming up in a second. Before that, though, Brian's going to play us a song.
I am. I'm going to play a tune that got sent in to the show from a guy named Matt Hagg. I would have pronounced it Haig because it's H-A-A-G, and I think we had an Alexander Haig in our Secretary of
something.
Interior or something. Yeah.
War maybe. They don't have Secretary of War anymore.
Secretary of War.
Do we have that anymore? That's not a thing.
No, that's not a thing. I don't think there's ever been a Secretary of War.
I thought there was. There is. United States Secretary of War. Member of the cabinet. Really? It started with the George Washington administration. And is it still happening? It looks like it ended. Hold on.
They just changed it to Secretary of Defense.
Yep, they ended it in 1947. Kenneth C. Right. Royal was the last Secretary of War that we had, and they changed it to Secretary of Defense. You're absolutely right. Hey, we learned something today. Woo!
Haig was Reagan, the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State... when Reagan was in office, and he spells it totally different. So this was a tangent that just didn't need to be gone down anyway.
Who took the bullet for Reagan? Was it him? No.
No, it was...
the other guy.
Benson? Something Benson?
Benson? Benson?
Benson?
No, it was...
Bob Benson or something like that?
It's the Baker, because they named the anti-gun thing after him.
Baker, right.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's it. Never mind. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we're just trying to do everything we can not to play the song. Just kidding. Matt Hagg is a robot disguised as a human. He was born in a scrapyard near Madison, Wisconsin, and was raised by synthesizers and cats. Find more about him at matthaggmusic.com, which is M-A-T-T-H-A-A-G music.com, or by searching Matt Hagg on the internet music place of your choice.
Yeah.
As you suspected, Scott... our song here is indeed a cover. It's a cover of the song Spiky Cars from the Mad Max Fury Road soundtrack. We thought you might like this. We'll see if you do. Here you go from Matt Hagg. Here is Spiky Cars.
Okay, I loved every second of that. I mean, big shock.
I thought you might, yeah.
Big shock, everybody. Scott really likes the Mad Max cover.
What?
That Junkie XL album is one of the best movie soundtracks ever, and people should go listen to it. It's on all the streaming services, and you can buy it, and it's great. So good. And his next movie, he's doing the Tomb Raider soundtrack. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now I'm going to watch, I'll probably watch Mad Max this weekend. Why not? Slip it in.
Somebody in the chat room suspected that you might, that might be enough to, like, prompt you to watch.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
I mean, shock, I know, but I just do. All right. Well, that's the end of that. We've done all we can there. How about this? Yeah.
App Slappy.
It's time for App Slappy. That's right. To look at apps that we've been using on our mobile devices, be they tablets or phones, since last we spoke. And Brian, I'll start things out today with a choice that I think you would like. I'm not 100% sure, though, so you'll have to tell me on the other side of this.
Okay.
This is available, I think, on Android and iOS. Now, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure it is. I'm going to play a little of this intro music for you. Let's see here. Okay. No, we know. I know. Okay. Oh, listen to that. Some sweet chip tunes with a guy whistling. All right. The game is called Part-Time UFO. That's what it looks like.
I was going to guess it was a golf game based on that music. I don't know why.
It's great. Now, it's very Nintendo-ish. And I found out from somebody that a bunch of people responsible for, like, a couple of big Nintendo games, like the Smash Brothers series and some other stuff, actually made this game. Hmm. So it kind of explains why it feels Nintendo-y. It's a premium product, so you pay your $2 or whatever it is, and you never pay any crap again. So it's just a game to buy, and you know I like those, so I like to bring those here. Here's the weird thing about it. It is basically a two-touch game where this little UFO gets hired to go do jobs, and the jobs are, a bunch of statues have fallen down at this museum. Let's hire a little robot guy to come, and basically he's like a hovering claw machine. So what you do is you move him back and forth, just tapping left or right. It's done this way, vertically, okay? The little pixel guy, looks like a little floating UFO, will float over one of the statues that fell over in the museum, and then you tap this button that opens his claw, and his claw goes schlink, and then it falls down. It's all very physics-based, and sort of you want to get lucky like a claw machine, but way easier to get stuff than claw machines. Claw machines are a ripoff, but it's like that. Little dangly thing comes out with a claw. You grab it. Oh, I got the edge of it. Okay, I'll pick it up and stand it back where it should go. Okay, I only have 4 more of those to do, and you have a time limit to do it in. And if you're really good, you might stack them in a certain order, like put back together like a totem pole in the stacks that it should be, and you get a bunch of extra resources and a higher grade for that level. But you just spend your day doing these jobs, picking up everybody's shit and putting it back. And it's adorable and fun and hard to put down. I can't explain why it's so much fun, but they kind of nailed some weird mechanic that feels good to do over and over, and every level feels totally different, and I'm completely into it. People should play it.
This is really funny. So yeah. From the time that you showed the name of the app as Part-Time UFO or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's right.
You pulled the app back and you froze completely on my screen. Like froze. Everybody in the chat room was like, oh, stream's dead. And I kind of waited. And then I hear picking up poop and da 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 da. It's like apparently I don't make any noise while you're talking about apps because you didn't realize that I was gone that entire time.
I had no idea. What's also weird is it says it didn't drop any frames. I'm at zero drop frames. So I don't know what happened there. It must not been of a stream thing, but a local camera thing or something or an audio thing.
Yeah, you're still frozen. Your video is still frozen on my screen. You're making a little woo face.
Am I here? How about now? Is it any better?
Nope.
What?
Say stop and start your video, maybe?
I don't.
Oh, there we go. Now it's good.
It's moving now? I have no idea. Yep. That must have been something weird. Yeah, if you guys, really, and they say they lost me also for a little bit. I must have
lost
you.
That's why I thought maybe your computer actually went down, but if you That was the funniest part, is that you came back just like nothing happened. So it was like just a little glitch in the matrix or something. But
I don't know what that was. And it says that there was no bandwidth loss and or frames loss. So I don't know what that was. That's super weird.
To find out about that app on my own. Part-time UFO?
Yeah. It's just here's the quick of it again. Okay, you move back and forth. A bunch of stuff got dumped. Guy says you need to clean it up. You open a claw like a claw machine. Claw machine comes down, grabs it. You have to try to put it all back in its place before the timer's up. It sounds super simple and dumb. It's way fun and compelling. Play it.
Oh, this does look good. Yeah, like Lunar Lander almost or something.
Kind of, yeah. It's got that kind of loose physics, kind of like be careful kind of thing going.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I think you'd like it a lot. Everybody at home heard this because it
recorded. Make sure that stuff is still recording, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, yeah. Audio's going. Video's recording.
Okay, good. All right. Well, then.
Are they still seeing? Yeah, they're still hearing me because they're
recording. Yeah, they're hearing you now. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything's 100% here. I mean, could it have been the game somehow?
Probably not. But
probably not. Oh, yeah. HAL Laboratory. There it is. Smash Brothers and Kirby. That's right. And it's very free. Oh, you missed this part. It's made by the guys behind those games.
That's the last thing that you said that I heard. Because you did say that it was the Kirby and Nintendo.
You can tell it's those guys. Yeah. Like, it has this really great Nintendo console kind of quality to it that makes you feel like you're playing something kind of special. It's weird. It's hard to explain. But I really like it. Part-time UFO. Get out there. Pick it up. It's cheap. And go for it. Part-time UFO, Lady Redline in the chat asks. All right, Brian, let's hear yours, if this thing will lock and have it so I don't hear you.
I know, right? I'm scared. I'm a little scared, Scott. This is one that came out this week, and I was curious enough to say, I think I'll check it out. And it's actually sitting here in front of me right now as I speak. I'll hold it up so people can see. I've got people walking around a little restaurant and, you know, getting food and whatnot, and there's a little dude with a little pink glowy thing above him. And when you see the shape of that little glowy thing, you recognize that this is the brand new Sims game, Sims Mobile.
Oh, I heard this came out and I didn't pick it up. I heard good things. Heard great things, actually.
Here's some backstory. I've never, aside from things like Sim City, Sim Earth, Sim Ant, I've never actually played a Sims game. Mm-hmm. Never had any of that games. So I'm coming into this completely blind as to what Sims. I mean, I basically know the concept, right? You've got a little dude. You make him go through life. You basically live his life. You play a game to make somebody else live their lives.
Right.
While you could be living your own.
Right.
This is actually kind of fun. I mean, my main dude, surprisingly bald. He's a chef at a restaurant now. I've got a secondary character, a blue woman with long dark hair.
Oh,
because you can make people blue and green and gray and all sorts of different colors.
All right.
And I wish I would have known that. I guess I can change my bald guy to be a bald green guy. But in any case, I'm having kind of a blast with this. And, you know, you can let stuff go on its own. Like, he's right now working in a shift at his restaurant. I could just let that go and it'll be done in 37 minutes. Or I can actually do the shift and go over to this table and drop off this customer's appetizers, or go over here and get the prep chef to make something for me, things like that. So it's as interactive as you want. You can let it go, or you can, if you're like sitting in line somewhere and you want to work your shift at the restaurant, you certainly could. It's kind of fun, and you can have up to four different Sims that you're managing in there. After the first two, you have to pay for any additional ones. So
what do you pay?
I just have two in there. You pay with simoleons, the dollars.
So you can earn it, but you can also
earn them in game, but it'll take a while. I'm at 73 simoleons, and it's 150 to unlock, or 175 to unlock a third slot.
Yeah.
But you go to parties, you decorate your house. It seems like it's all about like interior design and stuff, which is whatever.
Yeah.
But
so the Sims Free Play is the old one. Don't get confused, chat room. There's another game called Sims Free Play. This is not this.
Nope, this is called Sims Mobile. It's got, you know, obviously it's got all the freemium stuff in there. Watch this video and you can earn a couple extra plinkets or dukargs or whatever they're called.
Dukargs.
You can also buy these things and blah, blah, blah. I've been playing for a couple days. I haven't had any desire to spend any real money in the game, but
yeah, it's super casual, right? And when The Sims is good, The Sims is great. Like the desktop Sims, I played the hell out of a bunch of those. early on back in, what, 99 when the first one came out? Mm-hmm. 98, whatever it was.
Veronica Belmont was into Sims games a lot, wasn't she?
Oh, way into it. In fact, I'll bet she's playing this, because what I've heard is that this is them saying, okay, we're not going to make a watered down Sims experience. Sure, we'll have freemium crap in it, because we need this to make money, but we want to make a proper Sims game along the lines with the current Sims games like 3 and 4 that are out on PC and consoles and stuff. And I think that's great. I say hallelujah. If I can play it casually, then I'm in, because I like Sim stuff. It's fun.
It's kind of fun. I'm not gonna lie. I'm having a good time having this on kind of in the background. And it's like, oh, you know, a song's playing great. I'll work a little bit of my shift or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm waiting for a file to download or a CD to rip or whatever, you know.
Sure.
Eh,
they want me to, my default character trying to make me is, his name is Bruce Brubaker, and he looks like kind of a douche.
He does. That's the thing. Like, you have to really do some randomization tapping to get somebody that doesn't come across as some jackass club kid or something.
but the fidelity looks great. He looks like he's a really well rendered, emotive character. Yeah. I mean, I'm really impressed, because usually these games are kind of half-assed on mobile. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sure. I'll mess with that later. So you like it? Recommend it, eh?
I do recommend it. It's a free download. It's on both Google Play and the App Store, so it's available for both platforms that you really care about. And, it's kind of fun.
Nice. All right. Well, then we'll check it out. That's it for reviews. We're going to take a quick minute here and let our buddy Dan have his way with us. Yeah, that's right. Yay. Dan has sent us a new segment. Folks at home, you're going to hear this now. We'll be back on the other side.
Greetings, programs. It's Dan, the Board Game Man. I'm back for the 6, 5, and 4, the best of 2017. We'll give you a little bit of quick games here. Sorry about the interruption last week with just the news, but I want to get back into some actual games here. My number 6 of 2017, a game by Matthew Dunstan and Brett Gilbert, and put out by Passport Game Studio, Professor Evil and a Citadel of Time. This came out, like I said, right around Gen Con. This is a co-op game. The game looks great. It's a little different than some of the other co-op games. It's a little easier to play than like your Pandemic. It doesn't feel as evil, doesn't seem to have that alpha player problem where someone's bossing around a table. But in Professor Evil and a Citadel of Time, everybody's trying to regain 4 of these big artifacts of the past, like the Ark of the Covenant or Excalibur and things like that. And Professor Evil is kind of going around his mansion trying to foil you. He is controlled by some dice that you use at the end of your turn, and you'll have different cards that you'll be able to use powers throughout your turn, and everybody else will have them. So you're turning off different alarm systems, things like that, that are in his mansion. And in order to do that, you're going to have to use an action to do that, and you'll have each one of the artifacts will have a certain amount of things that you'll have to turn off in order to claim them, which is really cool. And it has this really cool time mechanism during it that counts down depending on how you roll the dice. But it's real easy to get into. The rulebook's super quick. This is a Scott game because the rulebook is like 3 or 4 pages and they're big words, and it'll take you like 5 minutes to get through. So Scott, check out Professor Evil and a Citadel of Time, an absolutely great game. That is number 6 of last year. Number 5, this is another Scott game because the rules are like on one page. This is Century Spice Road. This kind of has that, in my mind, this falls in that Splendor category where it's easy to teach, a lot of replayability, very mechanics heavy, very thinky, you know, not too overly thinky, not going to get brain mush or anything, but thinky as far as thinking ahead as to the puzzle. Century Spice Road by Emerson Matsuchi and Plan B Games. On your turn, what you do is you play a card from your hand, and what you'll do is you're either going to have some of your little spices, we'll just call them cubes for what they are, one of your colored cubes, you're either going to upgrade them or turn them into something else or acquire some cubes, or you're also going to be kind of taking a card to give you more powers, which down the row you have to put out cubes if you want to skip other cards and put that card in your hand, or you can claim one of the contract cards out there. That's basically it. So depending on what cubes that you have in your little tableau, you can get different of the contracts and get points to the end game. Once, depending on how many players you get, either 5 or 6 contracts ends the game. Boy, This is a great unsung gem of last year. I know a lot of people love it anyway, and I consider it an unsung gem because it's very divisive. You either love it or hate it, but I think this is a great game for all types of people, whether you're a gateway gamer, you know, a lighter gamer, medium gamer, or a heavy gamer. I love this. I play this with my kids and my wife. Just a ton of fun. That's Century Spice Road by Plan B Games. Now we're going to hit number four. This is a game by Floodgate Games. By Daryl Andrews and Adrian Adamescu. Kind of might have mentioned this on TMSPM in the past. This is called Sagrada. Again, came out last year. This is, I think it was a little bit before Gen Con. I think this was originally a Kickstarter, but it went into wide release last year. This looks beautiful. In the game, you're kind of putting making a stained glass window. So there'll be cards that you put in this nice little cardboard array that you're putting out there, and you have a little card that'll switch in there. Depending on how hard it is, you may get certain little chits that will give you extra powers throughout the game, because you're going to lay out three random powers, and you can use one of your chits to get one of these random powers. So if you have a harder card to accomplish, you'll get more of these cheaty powers to do, and if you have an easier one, you won't get as many. Now on these different cards, you're going to have other things that'll say like what number needs to go there. So you're going to be drafting dice out of a bag. Dice will be pulled out of a bag and rolled. You'll be drafting them. Then you've got to put them orthogonally, I think even diagonally possibly, into your little stained glass array. But the same color can't go next to the same color, and the same number can't go next to the same number. So you're also trying to not cheat, as far as, you know, a certain space may tell you to put red, or another one may tell you to put four, or it may even tell you to put a red four if it's really difficult. There's a bunch of cards in the game that are going to add to your replayability. So it's going to be a game that you're going to be able to whip out with a whole lot of times. It goes from 1 to 4 players, because you can play this solo, which is actually really good, and it's really good with 2. 3 and 4 is okay, but man, it's great with 2. And that's Sagrada. Again, a small little footprint. It's probably only about $30-$35 from Floodgate Games. You should see a lot more. If it's out of print still, you should be seeing a lot more real soon. But it looks beautiful. One of the best looking games. Actually, all three of these games really look nice on the table, because Professor Evil has a great production value. Spice Road, a little bit muted, but they also have the Spice Road Golem Edition, which has crystals instead of cubes. You might really want to check and see if that one's out there. And Sagrada, which is one of the best looking games of last year. So there you have it. 6, 5, and 4. Next time, we'll get down to 3, 2, and 1 of 2017. I am Dan, the Board Game Man. Check me out on Twitter at GeekJockBlog, or check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. We will see everyone next time.
Okay, we're back. Hey, thanks, Dan. That was awesome. The great segment. Little did you know the technical issues we had while we were putting it in.
That's right.
But we're back, and everything's fine now. All right. Hopefully this holds. Some ISP outage in my area. That's why, I upgraded to the business level so I wouldn't have to deal with this stuff.
Right.
What the crap? Comcast, you're my only option. That's probably part of the problem. All right. Let's do this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
All right. It's Twitter questions. It's from you, the listeners at home. You've sent in something via this Twitter hashtag AskTMS, and you've asked some questions, and we're going to read these questions. Peter Fisher, you know him. He's always doing this.
I do. He's always the first one, too.
Yeah. He's a busy body boy. He says, so Rodney... Oh, my throat, dude. I feel it coming. It's coming.
Oh,
it's like swallowing a rock right now. So Rodney collected his sweat for posterity. What do other celebrities stockpile? For example, Dick Van Dyke, Pavarotti, Jimmy Carter, Seinfeld, etc. What do we think they keep of themselves?
All right. I'm going to say that Jerry Seinfeld has a little jar in which he saves his fingernail and toenail clippings.
Oh, that's a gross one. But okay, I'll give you that one. I'm going to say that... Dick Van Dyke keeps
the crusty sunburn skin that he peels off.
Yes, or the he collected the exfoliated buddy skin that would show up like on the chairs and stuff. I think that'd be cool.
Shkreli saves his belly button lint.
I think Seinfeld probably just keeps his like action figures and stuff, because he's
right. Yeah.
Superman.
Okay. Well, that would be the harmless thing to say.
Yeah. Oh, and his cars, because he has a lot of those.
Right.
He likes to drink coffee in them and talk to comedians. Tanner wrote in, says, either of you ever had a paranormal experience? Brian, you ever had a ghostly experience?
I don't think I ever have. And that is probably why I'm such a skeptic on, you know, like ghosts in the afterlife and stuff like that. I for a while, I'd have these late night hallucinations, and there would be people in the room, but I think that they were just It was just like little hallucination things that I was having at night. It was when I was really stressed about stuff. That's where how it manifests itself.
That's when the ghosts come. Some brain stress.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever, I've never had anything that I could call a paranormal experience. I've had plenty of moments where my own head is doing me in, but none where I could, you know, where I would know without a shadow of a doubt that I just saw the ghost of somebody.
Right. Now, Tina claims that that a couple Christmases after her grandfather died, she was sitting on the couch across from the Christmas tree, and she was thinking about her grandfather, and the only one Christmas ornament on the tree started wiggling. It wasn't like a wind came in and blew all the ornaments, but just one started wiggling, and it was the one that one of the ones that he had given her, or the one that he had given her.
And there was only one like that in the whole tree?
There was only one like that on the whole tree, and she said it wiggled when she was thinking about him.
Weird.
That one time.
Okay, there's one thing. My dad used to do a thing where he would hypnotize himself so he could remember where he left his keys. So, like, he'd lose his keys, and then he'd sit there with a crystal and go back and forth and ask it questions, and it would point in the direction he'd go. Yeah, it was this weird phase he went through, and he swore it worked. I mean, it wasn't, like, ghost stuff, but it was, like, this memory thing. And what I think was happening is he was calming himself down.
Probably, and relaxing his mind to say, oh, here's where I was when I last saw them kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Kimmy Greer wrote in and says, what does Scott love more, Africa by Toto or Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, wow.
Well, thankfully,
it's
I don't have to
making
choose.
Him choose between his children.
Thankfully, you don't really have to choose. But, I mean, if I had to choose, I'm choosing Mad Max Fury Road. There's a lot more content there.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. I love that song. But thankfully, like I said, we live in a place where we don't have to pick.
That's right.
Chris says, what happens if I'm interested in this TMS Overwatch tournament, but I don't have a full group? How do I let people know I am a hero for hire? Well, that's partly what we're doing. So you put in there everybody you
water bottle.
Yeah, and you put it, you put as many in the list as you know, and then any that you don't, we're going to try to find homes for all of you. That's why we're doing this initial name gathering, because that this thing is not like once you put in your stuff, that's your team, you're done. Not at all. It's just here's who we think we're going to have, and even if people fall out, that's okay. We just want to kind of have a total of people, and then we'll figure out a way. I'm having like Hammond and Spencer work on this separately because I don't have time. But they're going to handle the logistics of making sure people get teams. And we'll do that. We'll make sure they get teams.
That's a good way to do it.
Let's see. Let's read another couple here. Andrew Heim says, so Trump bans video or bans. He said bans, but I think he means bans. Bans video games instead of guns. What does the illegal game underground look like? Oh, man.
Well, rule number one about the illegal game underground is you don't talk about the illegal game underground.
Yeah, it already exists as far as I know.
That's right. Rule number two is if it's your first night at the illegal game underground, you have to play Super Mario Brothers.
Here's what I would say to any of this stuff about Trump talking about video games being the cause of school shootings. All the data all the scientific data we have supports the opposite of this idea. So all you need to do is read some of that. Also, he's digging up an old 90s trope just to be a distraction. So do not be distracted, everybody.
Exactly. Yes.
Don't.
All those other countries have get the same video games we do. And, you know, but they don't have the access to guns like we do. There's your difference right there.
You have mentally ill people all over the world. You have video games all over the world. And they don't have those kinds of shootings, regular school shootings all over the world.
Right.
We do.
I was the best at Grand Theft Auto, though. Boy, I could drive through those streets and I'd change the radio channel and I'd be delivering things for Marco, or I'd be going over to the gas station.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of my pro-Trump friends that are also gamers have gotten real quiet this week because they don't like it when it's stuff they like, you know?
Sure, right.
But also, just a quick thing to point out, we went through this already. We went through it in the 90s, and it was bullshit then, and it's bullshit now. Right. We have a rating system already, and if you're a shitty parent, give your kids adult games, and you're an idiot, just like you would be if you gave them X-rated movies and other stuff you shouldn't give them. Like, it's already there. It's in place. This is a distraction, so don't be fooled by it. If you get fooled by it, then you're a freaking sucker. All right. Next up, this question. Yoder says, Scott, how was The Little Prince? I'll let you know. I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm going to see you this
That's
weekend.
That's awesome that he asks you that.
There's a lot of people asking me that, unfortunately. Okay.
Boy, people have been stepping up in Twitter and saying, Iron Man 2 is great. You know, It's like a real villain as opposed to some guy who got snubbed by Pepper Potts years ago and now wants to take it out on her.
A lot of people really
her water bottle.
A lot of people really, really don't like that particular turn and the just the entire that whole thing in three. People don't like that, and I don't love that either. But I just think structurally the entire movie's better. But yeah, you are getting. I'm hearing it too. I'm hearing a lot of people.
I need to watch it. I need to watch it again and because I remember liking it a lot more than three. But we'll see.
Yeah. Tom
Rockwell. Sam Rockwell elevates everything.
I agree. No, he can. He could read a phone book, and I'd watch.
Yeah.
Tom Duvall says, "When was the last time you had a game night, board games or video games?" Last weekend we played. We did both. We had a bunch of we played D&D here at the house for Oscars night on Sunday, and then the night before we had a little Overwatch 5-on or 6-on-6 thing going on. So that was
fun. That's cool. Yeah, it's been a while for me. It's mostly been over at the Spagnolo's house, but even then it was before Christmas, I think, was the last time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been too long. It's been too long.
It's been a while. Final one also from Tom says, are you guys excited about Super Smash Brothers for the Switch? Yeah. I mean, I'm always excited.
Yeah, not as excited about that as Crash Bandicoot. I was such a big Crash Bandicoot fan. Seeing those come up on the Switch, I think, is going to be fun. I'm a platformer dude.
Well, you know that game's already out on the PlayStation. You should get it. It's good.
No, I'll wait. I'll wait and get it on the Switch.
All right. Hey, look, you do what you got to do.
It's like a month away.
Yeah.
I'll have it in time for Vegas. We'll play it in Vegas.
That's true. You can carry it around with you. That's true.
By the way, I've been talking to Todd about live streaming, so we're planning on live streaming the bunkhouse thing for people who can't make it out to Vegas.
Oh, lovely. All right. Yeah. That's cool. I haven't heard from Todd in so long. Well, I did talk to him a little while ago on Slack, but it had been before that. It had been like maybe BlizzCon since I last talked to him. So
I think he was leveling his mage in WoW or something. I don't know.
He's he's a busy WoW fella. I can tell you that.
For a while, he was a regular in Furt Raid. I don't know why he wasn't there couple nights ago, but I was there for a change.
Still says we have an outage, but there's not one. We're streaming.
Okay. Yeah, I hear Scott, so.
I hear everyone, and you all hear us. Okay. Oh, TVZ Gun says Todd still has my streaming rig and camera. Well, he should give that back to you.
Yeah. Come to Vegas. He'll have it. He'll have it there for
you. Yeah. See you there, TVZ Gun. They're also getting a new house built. Going to move in a couple of months. Maybe they're just busy. Cool. He might just be busy. Right. That's it for your questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Use it all week, and especially on Fridays, and we'll get your questions answered right here on the show. That's going to do it for us. The reason there is a fifth episode of the show a week is because of your help over at patreon.com/TMS. Thank you, everybody who supports us there. It means a lot. Frogpants.com/TMS will link you to everything else, including that. So it's simple, one link to remember. Frogpants.com/TMS. That's it. Brian, let's play some song and go.
Okay. Hi, Shiva and Bahamut.
Ooh.
I met Alexei, he's from Moscow, in 2015 during my first year working as a conference associate at GDC. He was a 10-year vet at that point. Since then, my life has been enriched with new journeys with him, trying out new and foreign foods, playing all the board games, kayaking in Hawaii, exploring Crete, learning to ski in Tahoe, trying out ballet, lending my years of experience as a Warcraft raider to his team in Final Fantasy XIV, and so much more. I could never have imagined I would get the chance to do any of this before I met him. GDC is coming up again, and it reminds me to imagine many more years of adventure together. With love, Kai. P.S., is it too early for Birdum to get a bacon cheddar sandwich?
Oh, my Lord. Yes, because all I'm playing is this. Here's what you get. Hold on. This is all you get.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
That's it. That's all you get.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Apparently, one of his favorite bands is ABBA, and one of his favorite movies is the movie Mamma Mia. Bet he's excited about the sequel coming out this summer. I'm not. Anyway.
I forgot that was happening. Is that a real thing? That is.
Yeah, it is. It's called Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Great.
I can say that I'm not excited about it. I'm indifferent about it. How's that?
All right. That's how I am. I don't care. I want people who like that stuff to be stoked.
Exactly.
I don't give
more
a shite.
For you.
Yeah. Exactly. More for you.
More for you. More of that for you. I won't be getting in your way of enjoying that.
Yeah.
In 2001, a tribute album came out called ABBA Metal, a tribute to ABBA. And as you can probably guess from the title, it's metal covers of ABBA songs. ABBA, ABBA, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes from the band Nation. It's a cover of my favorite ABBA song, which is Waterloo. Here is Nation.
Excited. Here we go. We'll see you guys Monday. Come on back, won't you? And there's a new film sack this weekend. Check that out. And what else?
Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the movie. Mm-hmm. Ugh. I'm not looking forward to it.
Get ready for some slapstick, Scott.
Oh, good. Anyway, here's Waterloo. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.